Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Do you know of anyone with blind sides? Do you know anyone that has a blind side? What a blind side is things that are normal. The person thinks this is a normal way to do it, but they're not. In their family, it was normal to eat with their mouth open. Their family was easy. It was normal to scratch, you know, on their left cheek. It was normal to, when they were speaking, to wind their watch. I've got a pastor, Cheryl and I know, that it's if you sit on the left side of the church, it'll drive you crazy because at least, 75 times a sermon, he puts his hand in his right pocket. He's talking, he's going like this. And he'll say a thing, then he wears his pants out about three pants a week, I think. Literally, 75 times, he's totally unaware of it. I'm sure he's totally unaware of it. But he puts his hands in his pocket at least 75 times in a sermon. That's what I call a blind side. Now, is it hurting anyone? I doubt it. It's distracting from a sermon, but that's a blind side. But it's a habit that's distracting. It's a habit that we're totally unaware of, that other people become very aware of, because it's so... I've got blind sides right now. I've got gestures that you're aware of that I'm not. Because to me, they're natural and normal. Take a look at this grid for just a minute. I think there are four dimensions of yourself that you want to be aware of in your leadership. One is your strengths. The key word there is maximize. So you basically say, what are your strengths, or what is your single greatest strength? Your single greatest strength. Of all the things you do well, what do you do best? What's your single greatest strength? That's what you should try to maximize in your life. If you're a hand, be a hand. Don't try to be an eye. Maximize who you are. Then there's weakness. What are your weaknesses? What is it that no matter how hard you try, you can't do it well? Like with me, if the National Basketball League paid me $10 billion a year for every time I dunk the basketball, we'd be penniless. Because I can't. It's a weakness. I can't jump that high. No matter how hard I try, I can't get there from here. If there are weaknesses that are true weaknesses that you can't do anything about, forget them. A lot of people say, well, you should work on them at least. I say, no, ignore them. Just forget them. A lot of the things that you may have been trying to work on in the last 10, 20 years, I'd encourage you to just forget it, ignore it. Just don't pay any attention to it. If it's a weakness you can't get past, just forget it. But there's a difference between a weakness you can't get past and an area you'd like to grow in. That there is something you can do about it. You say, Bob, I don't know much about anything about computers. I'd like to, I just don't. That's different than having computer dyslexia and not being able to cope with a computer, if there is such a concept. But a growth area would be, I'd like to learn the computer. I say, great, what steps can you take to grow in that area? Because that's an area you can learn in. And then the fourth area is blind sides. There you discover them. I say in the growth areas you develop it, in the blind sides you discover it. But how do you discover your own blind sides? That's what I'd like to talk to you about. Because not only is there someone you know with a blind side, you have a few yourself. And I have a few myself. What I'd also like to point out is that you are probably blind to certain strengths you have, as well as certain distracting habits. There are certain things that other people see in you that are strengths, but you don't see it in you. Because your dad, your uncle, your aunt, your grandma, somebody told you you weren't good at it. And so you're blind to it. Or no one in my family has ever been good at this. No one in my family has ever been good at math. The Beals just aren't good at that. I say, what are those areas that you're blind to because the family of origin you came up with, no one was good at it. Or no one, matter of fact, they stated, well, the Beals aren't good at that. We're just not good at that. But you may be the exception. You may be exceptional at it. And what are the strengths that are hidden that are, to you, blind? You don't see them in yourself. That's an area to discover. Okay? Now, how do you go about discovering that, though? You do it by asking. But be careful how and who you ask. You need to ask close, personal, trusted friends for both the positive and the negative. What do you see as my strengths that I'm not aware of? And what do you see as my distracting gestures or just anything? What are the blind sides that you think I have that I'm just not aware of? Let me tell you a quick story. One of my clients is a real estate developer in Southern California. And he had a potential partner on some major projects come in from New Zealand who is a billionaire when he's 38 years old. He started out with no inheritance when he was 28, graduated law school, and by the time he's 38, he's worth $1 billion net worth. I mean, he was a very exceptional guy. He wanted to move to Orange County, California, where my friend had his businesses and wondering, should they do partners? Well, my client, friend, said, would you spend a morning with this guy and tell me what you think? Should we work together? Should we do business together? What do you think? So I did. So I asked him hundreds of questions, did what I call profiling, what I do with a lot of executives when you're about to hire someone and you're down to two or three candidates or maybe two candidates and can't really decide which one, then I interview both of them and tell you which one I think would be it and why. I do a lot of that for clients. And I was, you know, just profiled him. I, you know, just got a feel of who he was. But at the end of the morning, it's about 11:30, I said, Peter, I've asked you a lot of questions. Do you have any questions of me? And he said, yeah, I've got two. He said, what do you see as my strengths? And what do you see as my blind sides? And I said, Peter, I've been consulting for, I think, 15 years now. Now I've been doing it for 35. It was a while ago. I've been consulting with some of the finest leaders of our generation. Not one single one of them asked me that question. Where do you get the confidence to ask basically a perfect stranger, what do you see as my blind sides? Where do you get that kind of confidence? He said, well, Bob, by the time you get to be where I am, meaning a billionaire, everyone wants to tell you how great you are. They want to tell you all of the things are wonderful and you don't have any flaws and how can I bow down to you and give me some money and give me some money. And he said, but what you really want to do is find out from someone who does this all the time what unique strengths they see in you. That's why I asked you about the strengths. And he said, when you're doing a $100 million deal, you don't want to have what a gambler would call a tell. A tell is some nervous twitch you've got or some nervous habit, for those of you who are not gamblers, which I'm not. But a tell is what, it's like if you've got a good hand, you keep smiling out of the right side of your mouth. Or if you've got a bad hand, you keep twitching out of your left eye. You know, those kind of tells that let the other person gambling with you know what kind of hand you've got. He said, when you're doing a $100 million deal, you don't want something you're totally unaware of to communicate to that person, I want this more than they think I want it, or I want this, you know. It's like, you want to know what your nonverbals are telling people. So he said, when I see someone like yourself who deals a lot with executive assessment, I like to ask them that question, because that's the area I grow in, because my friends won't tell me. They just tell me, oh, I'm wonderful, you know, where's the money? So when I began to see that, I began to see the importance of blind sides. I've had clients where I'd had to say to them, I have to approach it something like this. By the way, let me stop here and go back another way. I don't tell people their blind sides until they ask me typically. there's when there's enough trust built up to where they'll say, Bob, do I have any blind sides? I'll tell them what, honestly what I see, very kindly, hopefully, gently. But when I approach a blind side with a person, a client, a friend, a protege, is when I think it's hurting them. There are some clients have blind sides that are extraordinarily distracting or that are hurting them in some way. I had a friend that was going to raise a lot of money. And he frankly ate with his mouth open. And I said to him, you know, I knew it was going to hurt him at the country club. So I said, you know, we've been friends for a long time. There's something, I said, is that right? We've been friends for a long time. How long have we been friends? You know, just sort of, look, I'm not a Johnny come lately telling you this. We're friends. I said, how long have you been friends? 20 years or whatever, whatever it was. I said, you've got something you do that you're totally unaware of, but it's going to hurt you in this coming funding campaign. Would you care to know what it is? Now, there are certain times when a person can't handle one more thought on what they aren't doing right. It's like they're up to here, and if you give them one more thought, they'll feel like they're drowning. And they may say, you know what, right now is not a good time to talk about that. But he said, well, of course I'd want to know. I said, are you aware that you eat with your mouth open? What do you mean, eat with my mouth open? I said, oh, I don't. I said, unfortunately, you do. And it's going to hurt you dramatically when you go to the country club with someone and ask them for a lot of money, or when they want to introduce you to someone that could give you a lot of money, and you take them to the country, they take you to the country club, or take you to visit that large donor and you're having lunch, and that new person you've just met sees you eating with your mouth open, it will hurt your credibility. I've been with him several times since. I've never seen him eat with his mouth open. But it's like at certain times you realize there's someone on your staff, a protege or someone, that's doing something. They have a distracting feature. We're talking about this with David Yen yesterday, who for years the president of Awana. And he said, when I first started speaking, he said, I'd twirl my wedding ring. He said, I'd get up and I'd be talking, I'd be twirling. He said, one time the evaluation came in, he said, he's going to wear the gold off that wedding ring. And he said, then so I got where I realized I couldn't do that. So he said, I got to where I'd itch my right, whatever this is. What is it?
Scratch.
Wrist, I guess. What's this bone? And whatever. He said, I'd scratch this. And he said, I'd be speaking all the time. He said, pretty soon they're going to wear the skin off that, you know, your wrist. So I say, what is it that you do that's distracting to people while you're talking? Put your hand in your pocket, you know, twirl your ring. What is it that's distracting from what you're trying to say to them? Well, if there is anything, you want your close friends to be able to tell you what that is. So I'd encourage you to go to your top two or three trusted friends and say, hey, when I was at the conference, I heard a lecture about blind spots. Those are things that we're not aware of, but they're habits or gestures or something that we're not aware of, but they may be distracting or maybe things that we think of as normal, but other people don't. Do you mind if I ask you, personally, what do you see as my blind spots? It may be a blind spot in my thinking. Maybe every time the subject comes up, I get irate with it. I'm not aware of it, but I do. You see that I do. Whenever this happens, I always say that or think that. We were at a restaurant the other day, and it was in Russia, in St. Petersburg, and there was a man behind sitting next to the next booth, making a call on his cell phone, and is obviously talking to a customer of some kind. And the entire conversation had about three words in it. It went like this, da, 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 da. There's some other word. Da, Duh. 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 There's another, there's a second word. So the whole conversation is two words and duh. I'm saying he was totally unaware, I believe, he was totally unaware of what he was doing. He just kept saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. But he was unaware of it. Now, if I'd have been on the other end of the line and had heard that for the 83rd da, I said, you know, do you have any other words you know? You know? But again, there are habits that a close friend will know that we have that are distracting or we're not aware of them, that they can help us improve in that area. I say, ask a close friend what your blind sides are at some point. And grow in those areas. You just ask yourself, was I aware of it? And when you become aware of it, you may see, yeah, I am. I do that. Or, you know, yeah, I do it. And then you ask, do I want to get rid of the habit? Do I want to do something else? Yeah, then you can start scratching your other wrist or putting your hand in your other pocket. But how do you grow in your leadership to get rid of blind spots? How do you? I say you do it by finding out what they are, because no one can see their own, including me. Not a single leader you know can see their own blind spots by definition. And all leaders have them by definition. So it's one area that I'd encourage you to work on, think about, talk to people, talk to one or two close friends about that you really trust, the relationship. And then work on them. That's a growth area for you. It's first of all to discover them and then to act on them. So to find out what yours are, you ask. To help other people, you tell. But you do both very gently, because it's a very sensitive area. Very sensitive areas. There's a quote on the back, Cheryl points out, that I think got printed on the wrong wrong page. It has nothing to do with this as far as I know, but it's a great insight. The role of an organization is to maximize the strength of the individual and make her or his weakness irrelevant. That is a phenomenal principle, but I guess it's that you overlook their downsides if they're not hurting them. Just focus on what their strength is and ignore their downsides. I guess that's the way to apply that. So apply it that way. I'm glad it was back there. What questions do you have about blind sides? Any? Can I give an answer, an example of some of the blind sides I had and how to get rid of them? I've never asked anyone yet what my blind sides are, which is telling to me, but it's an honest answer. I've never asked anyone what are my blind sides, including Cheryl. I just haven't asked. I think it's a good thing to ask. I haven't done it yet. I don't want to admit I don't have them. I think it'd look like failure if I did. It would look like weakness if I had them. There are a lot of reasons that are just emotionally, I don't want to know what they are. You know, it's like, and so I'm saying I know how hard it is to ask. And I know how hard it is to hear, you know, what people have seen in us that may have been going on for years and we just weren't aware of it. So let me ask you, what do you see as my blind sides? Say it carefully. You'll be the first to ask, what do you see as my blind sides? That's a very politically correct answer. The relationship is too short to say what my blind sides are. The comment was that he had learned from a person who shared a blind spot, that he had sat on the edge of his chair and squirm a little bit, and it was better to just sit back and relax when talking to the person. That's a blind side that you've grown in. You've learned from, weren't aware of it, and you've grown from it. Could I give her an example of how Jesus helped discover blind spots? When he said, take the plank out of your own eye, might be one, because that was a blind spot. They didn't see they had a plank in their own eye, probably. Satan was addressing him in a way that he shouldn't. And so Jesus said, get behind me. Any others come to mind in the group? Well, I didn't want to put him on the spot. Any others come to mind of people that had blind, that Jesus addressed blind spots in people in the scripture?
Peter was always the first.
The question is, can they be just physical distractions, or can they be physical things, or can they be mental things or emotional things? They can be any one of those things. In other words, they can be sitting on the edge of your chair. They can be always using the same word, like duh. They can be emotional reactions we're not aware of. I've had clients where I'd say, whenever you'd mention a certain thing, they'd always have a sort of a explosive reaction to it. I don't think they were even aware of it. And so we have certain emotional reactions, certain mental trains of thought, certain manipulative patterns we're not aware of. I think there can be almost any area that you can have things that you're not aware of that could be distracting or could be hurtful to your communication or whatever. The question is, could a blind spot be complicating your speaking, complicating a message as compared to making it simple? And the answer is absolutely yes. A speaker can get so wrapped up in what he or she is doing, either from their training or from their modeling, that they complicate everything. We have a pastor that we have just heard of, I haven't seen him, that shouts when he preaches, yells, shouts. And it's in a non-shouting church. But he's come, and it's a very quiet, subdued church, and he's a shouter. And I said to our friend who was telling us about it, I said, it's my guess it's his modeling, that the person that he grew up listening to as a pastor was a shouter. He said, I happen to know him, and that's exactly right. The church he grew up in all shouted. And so even though he's moved over to, I think it was an Anglican, wasn't it? He moved over to an Anglican church, that he's shouting at the people. And that was, again, it's a blind side. He really isn't aware of it.